The need for attention and notoriety and acclamation and praise runs deep in the sinful human heart. And you don't need to look too far in our surrounding culture to see it. It seems that everyone these days wants to become famous in some way, shape, or form. They want to draw everybody's attention to themselves and make a name for themselves. And all you need to do is look at social media and things like YouTube to see that this is exactly the case. There you have person after person posting things that they hope will cause people to notice them and to smash the like button, as they say, and to follow them, offering up heaps of praise in the comments section below. Now, please hear me clearly. This is not to say that all social media is bad or that YouTube is bad or anything like that. Certainly not. There are things on these platforms that are useful and helpful and that are not driven by people's need to be famous. But it is evident that there are a lot of people in these spaces that are very much seeking to make a name for themselves, that are very much seeking to garner people's attention and to sort of be noted and acclaimed and praised for the things that they're doing. That's undeniable. So why do I bring this up? Well, ultimately, it's to say that what we're seeing in those kinds of spaces today is really nothing new. As the preacher of Ecclesiastes put it in the Old Testament, there is nothing new under the sun. The same sort of things that we see in the past are the things we see today. All of life seems to have this general flow of the same kinds of things happening. Just as there are people clamoring for fame and attention today, there were people doing the exact same thing in Jesus's day, but just in a different manner. The example that we have set before us in our gospel lesson this morning is the scribes. Now, who are the scribes? Well, the scribes were the religious experts of Israel in Jesus' day. These were the men who were trained in the law of Moses and who were given the job of interpreting the law of Moses to the people of Israel so that the people of Israel would know what the law of Moses was saying and how that law applied to their daily lives. So they were, if you will, in some senses, a kind of combination of theology professor and pastor. Their job was to study that law deeply, to listen to that law, to unpack that law and make it clear so that the people of Israel would know how they ought to live and what they ought to know and believe as God's people. But here's the thing. According to Jesus, they had a problem. And the problem is that they craved notoriety and attention and acclamation and praise. They wanted the people of Israel to put them up on a pedestal. They wanted the people of Israel to revere them. This is why Jesus gives the crowds who have come out to hear him during Holy Week, and this is absolutely key for interpreting this passage. You have to know when it's happening. It's happening during Holy Week. Probably on the Tuesday after Palm Sunday. That's why Jesus gives this warning at that time. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. What they're doing, Jesus is saying, is drawing attention to themselves by the things that they do, so that their sinful desire for praise and flattery gets filled up by the people, so that the people put them up on that pedestal and that the people look at them and say, wow, how holy these men are. These men must certainly be a higher class of human beings than all the rest of us plebeians down here, right? They certainly must be something far better than we all are. Of course, it gets far worse because not only are they craving fame among the people, but they're doing it out of greed, Jesus says. They're putting on a religious show so that they might actually profit off of that religious show, so that they might take advantage of the people. As Jesus puts it, they devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. they will receive the greater condemnation. Instead of providing for the widows, and they were one of the most extremely vulnerable people in Jesus' day, widows and orphans. That's why you hear so much about them in the Bible, because these are the two vulnerable groups of people. They were extremely vulnerable because most women, if they became widows and had no one to support them anymore, could succumb to starvation in a very short period of time. And a number of widows would turn to prostitution as a way to keep themselves alive. So this is an extremely vulnerable class of people. The law of Moses commands the people of Israel to take care of them, to watch over them, to provide for them, to protect them. And what do we have here? But we have them being preyed upon to take away the meager resources that they have. That's what Jesus is saying is happening here in his own day. They're preying on these widows so that they can take away the things that they have, all so that they can build themselves up, so that they can look good in the eyes of other people. Now, an important historical note might help us here. This is exactly what got Israel and Judah into trouble in the Old Testament and led to their exile. Israel got exiled to the land of Assyria. Judah got exiled to the land of Babylon. And if you read the prophets, it's not simply because they turned to idolatry, although that is the heart of it, but it's also because they were taking advantage of the widows and orphans. They were not caring for the people the way that they had been commanded to care for the people. And this was vitally true of the leadership of the people of Israel. They were preying on them. So here they are in Jesus' day doing the exact same thing that they did in the Old Testament that led to their exile. And this is why, context is king, remember, this is why immediately after this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus in Mark chapter 13 announces the destruction of the temple. God is going to come in judgment on them because they have fallen into the same pattern that they had fallen into in the Old Testament. They had fallen into doing the same exact things that they were doing that led to exile before. So between Jesus' day and the Old Testament days, things have remained exactly the same among the Israelite leadership, Jesus is saying, and that is going to result in God's judgment. That is going to result in the coming destruction of the temple. As the preacher says in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. The same pattern repeats. This is when Jesus sits down and watches what's going on with the treasury boxes in the temple. And what does he see? He sees a lot of rich people putting in large sums of money into the collection box, into the collection plates, we might say. And these were trumpet-like tubes that were there on the walls of the temple. And how does Jesus know this? Well, it's not because of the sound of the money going into the trumpet tubes, which is something that's often gotten repeated. That's a bit of folklore. That's not a truth. People say, well, the large people put in a lot of money. It made a lot of noise. Everybody knew the money was making a lot of noise. The poor people put in less money, didn't make as much noise. There's no historical verification for that. So it's not that. It's not the sound of the money going in the tubes that's making the difference. It's also not that Jesus had some divine insight that let him see into the minds of the people to see what they were actually giving. You know, Jesus didn't have mental telepathy so that he was sitting there saying, well, that guy just gave $5 and that person over there just gave 2 cents. That's not what's happening either. There's actually a very simple and grounded and historical explanation to what's happening. Jesus is watching them. That's what Mark says. And every time somebody came into the temple to give their donation, they had to openly show their donation to the temple authorities so everybody around them could see what they were giving. So it wasn't like you secretly put your money into the collection plate and nobody knew what you were giving. You had to show the temple authorities, here's what I've come to bring, so they could verify that it was good and it was able to go in the treasury. And so Jesus is sitting there with his disciples and he sees what people are bringing. Simple explanation. He sees that a lot of rich people are bringing money and putting that money into the temple. But he also sees something that is utterly heartbreaking. He sees a widow, the very type of person who is being preyed upon, the very type of woman who is being preyed upon, as he just said a minute ago, putting her extremely meager amount of money. And Jesus says it's all of it. It's everything that she has to live on. He sees her putting that into the treasury. What's happening here? Well, this woman has been preyed upon by the scribes. This woman has been preyed upon by the religious leaders of Israel, and they've convinced her that she needs to put everything she has into the collection box as a way of honoring God. She's like the modern-day victims of TV evangelists and holy rollers who say that you need to give me all your money, and if you give me all your money, God's going to bless you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to take care of you, right? That's the modern-day equivalent of what this woman is experiencing. This woman is probably not being held up as a model to be followed. A number of New Testament scholars actually say this, which is an interpretation that people have often taken, that this woman is being held up as a model to us. But there's another way of understanding this text, and that's seeing this woman as a victim, not as a model to be held up. And I think that's where Jesus is actually going with this. She's a tragic picture of the very kinds of things that he was warning his disciples about. That's why he calls the disciples over to say, you see, here's exactly what I'm talking about. They preyed upon this woman, and she's given everything she has into the temple treasury. What Jesus is doing is pointing out a heinous sin that's happening right in front of them. And that means that this gospel lesson actually ends on a sour note. It ends on a sad note. It ends on a heartbreaking note. And then immediately what happens afterwards? Jesus says, judgment is going to fall now on the religious leaders of Israel. Judgment is going to fall with the coming destruction of the temple, because this is the way things have been going. So with that said, what does this lesson then have to say to us today here in 2024? Well, clearly, there's first of all a warning here that there are people who will prey on the vulnerable in order to puff themselves up. There are people who will prey on the vulnerable, not only in the world, but there are people who will prey on the vulnerable in God's church as well. And I think we've all heard over our lives illustrations of that taking shape, where someone has swindled a group of people in the church out of a bunch of money, where they've convinced them to do things that have been dangerous and not the kinds of things that God wills for his people to do. There are leaders who will puff themselves up, and they will do it at the expense of other people. That's the sad truth, and Jesus gives us this warning so that we're on our guard against this kind of thing, so that we're aware that it happens, so that we pay attention to it and recognize it when it happens, so that we might actually call it out for what it is. But the good news here actually lies in the contrast of the one who is speaking with these scribes. This is where the gospel actually lies, in a contrast between the scribes and Jesus himself. And it's all based contextually on when Jesus is speaking these words. And as I said to you earlier, Jesus is speaking these words during Holy Week, which is the week that he has come to give his entire life for us, to spill his life out for us, to give everything he has for us, for the sins of the world. You see, Jesus is not like the scribes and those who follow in their shoes. Jesus is not seeking to take advantage of anyone. Jesus is not the type of person who is looking to tear people down. Jesus is not the kind of person who has come to exploit people. No, Jesus is the one who has come to rescue us. Jesus is the one who has come to liberate us. Jesus is the one who has come to give his life for us, so that we might have new life, true and lasting and eternal life. In fact, Jesus is the one who, as the story plays out in Mark, is going to allow himself to be taken advantage of by the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Israel. In fact, Jesus is going to allow himself to be taken advantage of by the entire world, because the truth is we're all complicit in the death of Jesus as sinful creatures. He is going to allow himself to be taken advantage of. Why? So that we have salvation and new life. That's why Jesus is doing it. Jesus is the one who is going to put everything he had in. He's going to throw it all in for us, laying down his very life for us, so that we might be released from the power of evil, so that we might be set free from our sin and from the guilt of our sin, and so that we might be set free from the power of death. Jesus has come not to take life. That's what the scribes are doing, taking lives. Jesus has not come to take life, but Jesus has come to give life, as only God can. So the point is not that we are called to be like this poor widow and give everything that we have for the sake of God, for pleasing God. You know why that is? Because if we threw everything that we had, if the message was you have to be like this widow and dump all your money in for the honor of God, we would all go starving and we would put God to the test. And God doesn't want us putting him to the test, does he? He makes that clear in his word that we are not to test him. But that's exactly what would happen if we followed that course. No, the point is that Jesus has given everything for us. And so this widow functions here as a kind of little symbol of Jesus, a little picture of what Jesus has come to do for us during Holy Week, of the ministry that he has for us. Just as she threw everything in, Jesus has come to throw everything in only so that he can receive it back again in the resurrection, and then he can give it all to us. He can give us that new life that he's promised. He can give us his forgiveness and the love of God and the promise of salvation. And that means that as his forgiven and reborn and redeemed and saved and loved people, which is who we are, that is our identity in Christ as baptized believers. As that, we are free not to seek fame and notoriety at the expense of other people. Not to go running around trying to put on a religious show to show everybody just how holy we are as Christians or anything like that. But we're actually set free to be self-giving servants who in love seek to uphold and care for our neighbors around us, especially those people who are vulnerable, especially those people who are out on the margins, the people who need care. So may God grant us the grace of his Holy Spirit to do this. Amen.